fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday show. We're going to look at the most added list, running backs galore all over that most added list. And guess what I forgot to do yesterday? I forgot to talk about IDP. So let's give some IDP today. What's up, Jamie and Heath?
What's up, Adam and Adam?
IDP?
Is that not what it is?
No, it's correct. It was just weird to hear those words come out of your mouth.
Let me tell you what my beef is with IDP. I thought about this. You're not penalized at all for poor play. Like, you could start a cornerback. He could get abused by a wide receiver the entire game, break up a pass, make some tackles. You don't get any negative points. It's not a very good scoring system.
Well, you don't get if a guy's a bad game and you don't get points, it's the same as if an offensive player has a bad game and doesn't get points.
Not really, because you're not really judging the defensive player accurately. You're only judging him by the plays he makes, but really it's the plays he doesn't make that could be so much more impactful.
So do you get negative fantasy points in your regular scoring leagues if a guy drops a pass?
No, but you get negative points for turnovers.
Sure, but the defensive guys don't score as much as the offensive guys typically.
Yeah, IDP's okay. Whatever. We'll give you some IDPs. Welcome, everybody. Okay, hey, FanDuel. Start playing on FanDuel, okay? There are awesome contests all the time. You can start for $1, whatever you want to do. You can play for high stakes. Go to FanDuel.com if you want free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes. Use the code CBSPOD when you make your first deposit. Click the Join Now button. Enter CBSPOD, void where prohibited. All right, so usually we do a lot of trade talk. We'll do a lot of trade talk today. We'll preview the Thursday night game. But, you know, just because yesterday was the epic waiver wire day, we will, of course, look at the most added list and rehash those running backs, because maybe Aaron Jones doesn't get that much playing time this week. Maybe Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams actually play. We'll see what's going on there. But who's your favorite buy low right now, and who's your favorite sell high right now, guys? Give me a buy low to start, like your favorite.
My favorite is, and you have a couple days to do it, is Jay Ajayi. Because you probably have a lot of angry Jay Ajayi owners. And one of those polls that I posted Monday, Adam, was who's the biggest bust so far? And this was based on a question that I asked on Twitter. So I used the three most popular suggestions were Amari Cooper, Jay Ajayi, and Terrell Pryor. And Ajayi was second in of the 7,000 plus votes with 18%. Cooper was the biggest one. But I think it sets up for him to have a big, big day against the Titans this week.
As of now, and these numbers are going to change. We only have four games. But as of now, these are the opponent ranks for Jay Ajayi in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. 23rd, 26th, 29th, 27th. As in, they give up the 23rd most, the 26th most, the 29th most. Oh, no. No. I said that backwards. Sorry.
This is what he has or what he has coming up?
What he has coming up. Anyway, he has four good matchups coming up. Tennessee, Atlanta, the Jets, and the Ravens. In terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs, they rank 23rd, 26th, 29th, and 27th out of 32 teams.
So, and you know, I like the story as much as the situation. Week 5 last year, home game against the Titans, his first start, that started the stretch of his great games. And I think the same thing happens again this year.
Okay, Jay Ajayi. Heath, how about you? You got a favorite buy low?
I've got a few of them, but I will say one that I think is almost free right now, that I'm starting to realize I've got ranked a little too low for this week, and that's DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call.
I think you need to do that in the next day and a half. But we knew DeSean Jackson. Like, we have this conversation in baseball sometimes, Adam, when we know somebody is really streaky, and then they go through a bad streak for 3 weeks, and everybody's like, oh, no, he's terrible. And we're like, no, we told you he was streaky. Mm-hmm. We knew DeSean Jackson was going to be up and down. He'll be up this week.
Yeah, well, the Patriots allow the third most pass plays of 20 or more yards and the second most of 40 or more yards, something like that. They allow the most fantasy points to basically every position. I mean, they're awful. So, yeah, I'll be starting DeSean Jackson. I guess the question is, you know, is he going to be – he's just going to be streaky. rest of season, right? Yeah.
Of course he is.
Okay, it's not really a question.
That's kind of his career.
Yeah. Okay, so one great game for Deshaun, two bad games so far. It's about to be 2-2. Favorite sell high candidates, guys?
Aaron Jones.
No, look, Heath, you have the answer to this. You did it yesterday. I couldn't believe the King's ransom you pulled off trading Deshaun Watson. Unbelievable.
And to be clear, this was one of three offers that I received for Deshaun Watson.
You traded him yesterday?
I traded Deshaun Watson.
Which league?
FFT.
I was so mad.
I traded Deshaun Watson.
As the commissioner, I should see the notification.
You probably got it. You probably missed it.
Matt Ryan and Bilal Powell.
Straight up.
Deshaun Watson for Matt Ryan and Bilal Powell, yes.
But 2-for-1.
Yes.
Who made that trade with you?
Our good friend, the biggest Deshaun Watson fan I know, George Maselli.
Wow.
I mean, you got Matt Ryan for him.
And a running back that's going to start for a few weeks.
Right. Like you, and a plug-in running back.
That's stealing.
Yeah.
I did not make the offer. I just clicked accept.
Good for you.
I'd been offered another package that included Martavis Bryant. But it's a team where I have like Garcon and Deshaun Jackson, and I'm like, how am I ever going to know which of those guys is good? So, yeah. Deshaun Watson's a good sell high.
And it makes me feel like Matt Ryan, now that we know Julio Jones not expected to miss time, you got to be a little worried about Julio Jones. He entered the season a little banged up, and he's banged up now, but I still think Matt Ryan's a buy-low candidate. Like, I feel like there's better production coming.
Well, it seems like he is a buy-low candidate, yes, based on that trade. Yeah. But listen, I didn't expect Matt Ryan to be as good as he was last year. I didn't expect him to be this bad either. So he'll be in somewhere in the middle.
Okay, Jamie, you have a favorite sell high?
It's two guys that we've talked about a lot, so I kind of link them together just based on their injury track record. It's Carlos Hyde and C.J. Anderson. I mean, Hyde's already dealing with an injury. Anderson, you know, I don't know if they're going to start to give Devontae Booker work coming off their bye week, but they might. And Jamaal Charles has looked very good the last two games. So if, you know, this is the week to sell Anderson if you don't need him, because you're not going to play him this week and he's not hurt yet. So it's almost like sell the guy in bubble wrap and see if you can get something great for it, like to the Dalvin Cook owner that may have not gotten anybody good off waivers, or, you know, somebody that's just in dire need of a running back.
Mm-hmm. And Hyde did say he was playing through a hip injury last week. And Jamie's right. I mean, we know the track record. So that means to me, I saw Matt Breida dropped in a few leagues. And I don't necessarily have room for him. I mean, it's easier said than done to stash somebody. But if you do have room for Matt Breida, Jamie, is that a good idea to be stashing him?
Absolutely. You know, deeper leagues for sure. I had to do that myself. I had to drop Breida for a couple of players just, you know, out of circumstance. But if you could still carry, you know, he's a potential lottery ticket. So it's in your best interest. If you can't afford to carry guys like that, you do so.
All right. Speaking of which, tweet of the day comes from AC Sanchez. If we want to prepare for a possible Zeke suspension, who do we pick up as the handcuff, Morris or McFadden?
I picked up Alfred Morris in two leagues where I had Elliott. So I think he's the... It could be either one of them, but I think Morris is the most likely.
Morris looks like the guy. I mean, I would imagine it's going to be both. But, like, I picked up Morris in one league just to see what happens.
Yeah, at, like, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, because I didn't get any of the guys that I wanted, so he was the best one sitting there.
Go to sleep. What's with
you? What are you talking about? Last night was the perfect situation for you, to where the game went on until after waivers had run. You could have just done it all after the game.
So I actually went to the game last night.
Right.
And I got home. I went to the Yankees game. It was so fun. Oh, I had the best time. You can probably hear it in my voice. I barely even cheered because I said I can't lose my voice. It was amazing. But I got home at about 1:30 or something, got out of the shower and was online at like 1:50. And Jamie's like, what are you doing? Go to sleep, Jamie. How do you function? You don't even drink coffee.
I slept from 2:30 to 5:30, got up and worked some more.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Good for you. But Jamie was up, made some at post waivers, ad drops. Good stuff.
It's one of my favorite things to do Tuesdays.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is sleep at that hour. But good for you. It's an advantage. All right. So we'll do more ads and drops. Most added. We'll do more trade stuff a little bit later. And there's your skinny on the Cowboys running back. Your news and notes. Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, Davante Adams, they all have a chance to play this week at Dallas. Do we know anything right now as of Wednesday morning? Anything definitive?
No.
I think they're all saying, I'm preparing like I'm going to play. That does not mean they're all going to play.
Do you think Aaron Jones is going to be a big waste of fab / waiver priority?
No.
I'm not ready to say no. I don't think it was a bad move still. Like, even if it turns out to be that way, I don't think it was a big waste, because that's what you're doing with fab, is taking shots.
I wonder if Jones did enough to move ahead of Jamal Williams if they're both healthy.
That might be.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. At the very least, I mean, actually, it might be worse than that. At the very least, he might have moved into a timeshare if they're both healthy, which would be not what we want. We want a clear handcuff and a clear backup. But okay, we'll see what happens with the Packers. They're at Dallas this week. Dante Moncrief is owned in 60% of leagues. It's always good to ask the two of you about Dante Moncrief. Couldn't have more differing opinions. He's owned in 60% of leagues. Is it time to add Dante Moncrief?
Deeper league.
Yeah, I just finished up my stash rankings for week 5, and Dante Moncrief did move up a little bit in those. So I think he's a worthwhile guy to have on your bench. I still wouldn't feel comfortable starting him, even though he had the touchdown this past week, until Luck is back.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Listen, I've only ever disliked Dante Moncrief because of what his cost was. Now his cost is free, so I don't dislike him at all.
Okay. He's 60% owned, as I mentioned. Left tackle, Teron Armstead for the Saints, should be back after this week's bye, but they lost their right tackle, Zach Strief, for at least 8 weeks. I've actually been kind of amazed. It's like a lot of players are really affected by offensive lines, by poor offensive lines. When Drew Brees has had injuries on the offensive line, it really just doesn't slow him down. He's just incredible. And Strief hasn't played that much this year, so it's, you know, I don't think it's a huge concern. It stinks, but, yeah, Brees is Brees. Rob Kelly's day-to-day. Josh Norman could miss 1 to 4 weeks with an injured ribs. He might play after this week's bye. Josh Doctson has a strained shoulder. Tennessee signed quarterback Brandon Weeden, not necessarily a great sign for Marcus Mariota as they prepare for Miami this week. So Miami DST, if Mariota's out, would you want to pick up the Dolphins DST?
Deeper leagues. I mean, look, you know, their offense has been awful, but their defense hasn't given up a lot of points the last 2 games.
No, their defensive line, front 7, has been outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. And would you rather have the Jets or the Dolphins, assuming Mariota doesn't play?
J-E-T-S.
Okay. Jamie, do you want to spell a team? Or
I thought you were going to say Jets, 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 Adam.
Oh, me? I'm sorry. Yeah, somebody did that stupid chant at the baseball game last night, and we were like, dude, what are you doing? Like, no. First, no. They're 2-2. They're not good. And it's the Yankees playoff game. Stop it.
I was surprised that you could hear that all over every shriek after a fly ball.
It's the worst.
Was that what was happening?
Every single fly ball that was hit by the Yankees.
But that's every baseball game everywhere.
It is. You know what? I'm not gonna talk anymore. I had such a great time. I'm just so happy that I went. I'm so happy. I love sports. It's good for sports.
Are you gonna keep going?
I don't think I can afford it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pick and choose. And if they advance to the ALCS, I'll try to go to a game. But I don't know. It's expensive, but I was lucky enough to get face value tickets for this one. I don't think that's going to happen again. All right, so most added running backs. After I tell you, if you want to watch more football, you can do it on your laptop, you can do it on your phone, you can do it on any device with CBS All Access. Start your free trial right now, cbs.com/NFL. We're always trying to watch more games. Okay, maybe you got Red Zone on, maybe you got another channel on the TV. You want to watch, I do it every week now. I watch on my laptop, I watch the local CBS games. Your local CBS games are on CBS All Access. The URL is cbs.com/NFL, not CBS Sports, but cbs.com/NFL. So most added does not mean most owned, it means biggest change in ownership percentage. And here are your most added running backs after waivers ran last night. Latavius Murray. He is 73% owned. Aaron Jones, 46% owned. Wayne Gallman, up to 26% owned. Alvin Kamara, 76% owned. He's the most owned of this group. And Alex Collins is 5. We'll do some more. But your top 5 are Latavius, who's at Chicago. They've actually been pretty good against running backs. They give up touchdowns, but their run defense has been solid, 3.6 yards per carry. Aaron Jones at Dallas, not so good against running backs. Wayne Gallman against the Chargers. Heath always talks about how many tackles the Chargers miss. Alvin Kamara on a bye. And Alex Collins at Oakland. They've actually been better defensively than I think people anticipated. So what's your reaction, Jamie, to this top 5 of Latavius, Aaron Jones, Gallman, Kamara, Collins?
Well, I think you look at the two guys at the top, and Murray, just as we talked about yesterday, his opportunity is the best on the table. The player may not necessarily be the best going into it. So he was worth picking up. Like, I had a couple situations where I don't think I got Latavius Murray in any leagues last night, and there are, I think, I don't know, I'll say maybe 5 leagues that I'm 1 in 3, or there's one where I'm 0 in 4, but 4 others I think that I'm 1 in 3, and so if I don't win now, I'm done. So I looked at Aaron Jones' situation being better than Latavius Murray's situation this week. So I have a lot of Aaron Jones. I don't have a lot of Latavius Murray, but I think when you look at those two guys, as well as Gallman and Collins, you know, you're hoping for guys that can be potential starters for you, with Kamara, you know, when he's back off his bye week, being the same thing.
Okay, and do you have, how many of Latavius, Aaron Jones, Gallman, Alex Collins do you have in your top 24 this week, guys?
I believe that number is 0 for me. No, I had Aaron Jones there. It will be 0 if Montgomery or Williams play.
Sure. I have, I think, all 4 of them. I think they're all in good situations this week. Murray against the Bears should score. Jones should have a monster day against the Cowboys if he's the guy.
Yes.
Gallman and Collins, I think, are set up to get a lot of work.
That's the one I'm questioning, and I've tried to look on Twitter. I can't find anything about what the Giants' opinion about who their starting running back is.
Oh, I did see a story.
I know who I think it should be.
I did see a headline from my I don't want to. Let me see if I can find it. It said something like Wayne Gallman may have just gotten the Giants' starting running back job, but it is speculation at this point.
Right. If you told me Wayne Gallman is starting at running back for the Giants, then he would certainly be up there.
Yeah. All right. I got the article now. I'll take a quick scan and see if we can find anything. That's the one. I don't really want to trust it. And then Collins, I did read that they might be conservative with his carries just because of the fumbles. Like, how many carries are you expecting this week from Alex Collins?
I think this is going to be, 10 to 15. You know, he's been at 9. That's not saying it's a huge stretch, but this is going to be the first time since he's gotten an opportunity to play where they have a chance to win.
The Ravens, excuse me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Reading this article, got confused. All right, we'll come back to that. Let's go to the next 5. Eddie Lacy is now 37% owned. Andre Ellington is 59% owned. He's got a tough matchup this week. Jerick McKinnon, 12% owned. We haven't really talked about him. Elijah McGuire, 17% owned. And Giovanni Bernard, 41% owned now. Eddie Lacy at the Rams. Andre Ellington at Philadelphia. Jerick McKinnon at Chicago. Elijah McGuire at Cleveland. Giovanni Bernard against Buffalo. Heath, your thoughts on that group of 5?
I've added Lacy in a couple spots, especially where I already had roles, just because I don't feel confident at all that we know who's going to be the feature back, if there even will be one in Seattle, but I'd like to have both of those guys. I like Ellington the most out of this group. Bernard is so weird because I think he's really good. I think he should get a larger percentage of the touches than he does. But they're not kicking at Jeremy Hill out of the rotation. Giovanni Bernard is getting the 3rd most touches, even if he is being the most productive with them.
Well, let me ask you about the Seahawks, guys. Lacy's 37% owned. Thomas Rawls is 58% owned. How do you feel about that?
I think they're both under-owned.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those things where people are just, I don't know if I want these guys type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. I still feel like Thomas Rawls can be a good running back. And the Rams, and I still feel like the Rams could have a good run defense. I don't know what's going on, but their run defense has been atrocious. They gave up the most fantasy points to running backs. And that's with Aaron Donald only missing one game. And I could understand coming back and being rusty for a game, but still, I don't know. They've been, I guess they did a decent job against Zeke. He scored a couple of touchdowns, but averaged about 4 yards per carry. Yeah, I mean, who do you like better this week, guys? Rawls or Wayne Gallman? Who, I read this article. It's all speculation. We don't know anything.
Gallman.
I've got them both as low-end number three running backs.
Do you think Elijah McGuire gets more than the 10 carries he got last week?
No.
Potentially, but not by much.
Okay. Other guys on the most added list, Wendell Smallwood is up to 73%. Feels actually kind of, I'm surprised. It's a little lower than I thought. Maybe because, no. A tough matchup, I guess, against Arizona, but Smallwood 73%. Should he be closer to 90?
Yes.
I think it's good that he got that touchdown because we thought Blunt was going to get all those, but he was still much less effective on the ground than Blunt was.
No, but I think it's his work in the passing game because that's where he's going to have the chance to win most situations.
And the thing about that touchdown, I'm pretty sure Blunt got a couple of chances inside the five or even like inside the two. Couldn't get in. They finally gave it to Smallwood. And yeah, I remember that because I had on the same team, I had Wentz and Blunt. And I was like, okay, this is probably going to work out well. Of course, Smallwood gets a touchdown. Very frustrating. And then C.J. Procise is now 29% owned. Does C.J. Procise have a role for the Seahawks? No? You tell me, C.J. Procise.
I think they all do. I think you're going to see, you know, maybe McKissick is probably going to end up being the odd man out just based on, you know, him being in a need situation more than they may have wanted, but he certainly proved himself that he can handle it. I would assume, just from an outside perspective, that they would like Procise to go back to the role that he had before getting hurt, which is playing on passing downs.
It's just whether he can stay healthy.
And then maybe having a role in carrying the ball. It's going to be a hot hand approach.
In Seattle? Okay. Yeah, and let's give Lacy credit. He played pretty well on Sunday against the Colts. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like, do you start DeSean Jackson this week, or do you start some of these running backs? You know, how many of these running backs would you start over DeSean Jackson?
Jones and Murray.
But can you really do that with Jones if we don't know the status of Montgomery by Thursday night?
Oh, the Thursday game, yeah. Yeah, I'd say probably then no.
I'm probably going to say none.
And how about
Jackson? Jackson certainly has the highest ceiling of him versus any of these running backs.
How about
but his floor may not be as good as Murray or Jones.
Danny Amendola. You know, would you go Latavius Murray or Danny Amendola this week?
Latavius.
PPR, I'd go Amendola.
Would you go Wayne Gallman or Danny Amendola this week?
Amendola.
Yeah. It's funny with Gallman. I picked him up in our podcast league. I think Latavius went for, or he might have been owned actually. One of the guys went for over 30. I got Gallman for like 12, and I don't trust him this week because you want to see what's going to happen. And then the next two games are Seattle and Denver, and then a bye, I think. So it's almost like what the hell was the point? But that's a 14 team league. Any guy who has a chance to get touchdowns or double digit carries has to be owned. So we'll see. It's risky, but he certainly, of all the running backs who have done anything on the Giants this year, Gallman has certainly looked the best. IDP most added. Jacksonville linebacker Miles Jack is the most added IDP individual defensive player this week. He scored a touchdown last week. He's a number five linebacker in fantasy, and even without the touchdown, he's playing well. But Kansas City defensive back Terrence Mitchell is 21% owned. He has the fourth most tackles at the position. There are two guys that are somewhat available. Mitchell, very available. 21% owned Terrence Mitchell for the Chiefs. Tyvon Branch for Arizona. He has the most tackles at the position, six more than any other defensive back. 32 tackles this year, and he's 61% owned. Kansas City linebacker Justin Houston's playing great. He's 65% owned. And then some deeper leagues, you know, Buffalo's rookie first-round pick, cornerback Trey Davious White. Maybe this is one of the big reasons why their defense has been good, because they traded away, they got rid of two cornerbacks, but White stepped in. He's had two huge games in a row. He had an interception, a fumble recovery, a touchdown. He had four pass breakups against Denver. Maybe he's a very good player. Tre'Davious White Look at him for Buffalo. And Frank Clark could get a lot more playing time now for the Seahawks with Cliff Avril injured. And Matt Milano is likely going to replace Ramon Humber at linebacker for the Bills. So that's Tre'Davious White, Frank Clark, and Matt Milano. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an IDP expert. Do you guys want to weigh in on anything?
I like the opportunity for Miles Jack. The one thing I try to be careful with, and a couple of things you said, is when guys get a pick six mm-hmm. and then they jump to the top of the fantasy points scored at their position and everybody adds them. That's like the least predictable thing in fantasy sports. But the guys that are getting tackles.
I mean, I just know I picked up Jack in our IDP league after week one because he had a huge week. And with his pedigree, expect him to be very good. Like Tyvon Branch has been very good over the course of the season. He's another guy I picked up a few weeks ago.
And much rather have Branch than Mitchell, yes.
Yeah, I think one thing with the Bills defense is Humber's injury could be tough for them because he's been playing great.
Yeah, it could be. All right, well, there's your IDP, everybody. How about we talk about the Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And so far, these are the two worst pass defenses in the NFL. But I don't know. I really got so much heat for the windfall last week / bonanza. I don't know. I'm like getting scared to do it now. I'm not going to use this game anyway. I wouldn't do that on a Thursday night. But we could have a lot of points, that's for sure. And we love Tom Brady. So let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is top six. He's fourth for Jamie. He's sixth for Dave. He's fifth for Heath. I don't know if I even need to give out the numbers, but the Patriots give up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Are there any concerns about Jameis Winston, or is he just an automatic?
I have no concerns at all about Jameis Winston this week.
All right. Who are some quarterbacks you'd start Jameis over?
All of them. Almost. Stafford, Rivers, Ben.
Cam.
Okay.
Watson. Alex Smith.
I want to give out a stat.
Joe Flacco.
And I want to see what happens. I don't know if this is the game that this even matters, but he scored 22 fantasy points per game last year in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues without Doug Martin and 16.7 points per game with Doug Martin. 5.3 fewer, but almost a touchdown fewer per game. The biggest difference for some reason, he just threw a lot more interceptions in the 10 games with Martin compared to the 6 without him. 10 more picks. But I don't know if that matters, but they did run the ball. I think he threw the ball a little bit less with Doug Martin healthy. We'll see. So that brings us to the Tampa Bay running backs. And guess what? The Patriots allow the second most fantasy points to opposing running backs. Very deceiving stat. Most of it is Kareem Hunt. No other running back has scored double-digit fantasy points against the Patriots, although they do have a pretty solid yards per carry, those running backs that didn't. But Kareem Hunt had 39 fantasy points, so that is destroying the Patriots' rank against running backs. Tell me how you're approaching the Bucs' backs this week.
I don't want to start either one of them personally. I've got them ranked as number threes with Quiz just barely ahead of Doug Martin. Martin doesn't sound like he thinks he's ready for a full workload yet.
Yeah. I would still take Martin over Rodgers, but they're back-to-back for me too.
So Latavius Murray over Jacquizz?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And the Aaron Jones thing is going to be, I mean, if Jones were the guy, it'd be such an easy call. Hopefully we'll know more tomorrow. I understand it's going to be difficult. Would you start Joe Mixon or Jacquizz Rodgers?
Mixon easily.
Mixon.
How many New England running backs would you start over Quiz?
Two.
White and Gillisley.
Yep.
Back to that in a moment.
Burkhead may not play again.
Back to that in a moment. Mike Evans is a must start. Sean Jackson, I think we talked about. But would you rather start DeSean Jackson or James White?
Jackson.
Would you rather start DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey, who's facing probably a decent amount of Patrick Peterson?
Jackson. Ooh. I don't want any part of Alshon Jeffrey this week.
Yeah.
I think the more interesting discussion is DeSean Jackson versus Chris Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Hogan higher.
Yeah, I would take Jackson because I think Hogan's got the tougher situation with those two outside corners.
Interesting. Would you rather have Amendola or DeSean Jackson?
Jackson.
All right. Start Jackson this week. How about Adam Thielen or DeSean Jackson?
Thielen.
Jackson.
Okay. So Cameron Brate, must start
Yes.
I don't have him as a must start. Last week was encouraging, and I moved him up because of it, but he's averaging like 3.5 targets a game, 4 targets a game.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable as a must start tight end.
How many tight ends are averaging 7 or more targets a game?
Not very many, but like Ben Watson is. I don't.
Would you start Watson over Brady? Because it is another good matchup. He's 2 games in a row with a touchdown. Maybe he gets more comp. Maybe Jameis says, I got to throw to Brady more. And this is a team that's given up 3 touchdowns in 4 games to tight ends, the Patriots.
See, Watson's got a great matchup, too. The Raiders can't cover tight ends. I've got Watson 1 spot ahead of Brady, so yes.
Yeah, I would take Brady here. I think Jameis' track record with his tight ends in this matchup suggests that he will give him enough opportunities. I mean, this is a red zone tight end offense. And so Brate has the chance for the higher ceiling this week.
But we don't really want O.J. Howard, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
They had a great play design.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are there any, let me just see, I'll pull up the tight end rankings. Any tight ends that people might be surprised that you would start Cameron Braid over?
Well, I'd start him over Delanie Walker, given the quarterback situation there.
Mm-hmm.
I would start him over Martellus Bennett, who's been disappointing. I would start him over Kyle Rudolph, who's been disappointing.
Okay. Cool. I think that's good. Start Tom Brady, start Rob Gronkowski, and the Patriots wide receivers we'll touch on in a second. Now, I asked you how many Patriots running backs you'd start over Jacquizz Rodgers. You said both Gillislee and James White. But do you have any confidence in those guys? The Buccaneers allow just 2.9 yards per carry. They've been a little vulnerable in the passing game, though. 2 out of 3 games, a running back has had 55 or more receiving yards against the Buccaneers. So, you know, tell me how you feel about the Patriots running backs this week.
I like Gillislee more in standard, White more in PPR. White's a flex in standard and a low end number 2 in PPR.
I would agree. Gillislee, you know what to expect. If he scores, you're good. If he doesn't score, you're getting about 40 or 50 yards. And if the game turns into what it could be, which is, you know, what we'd all like to see is a track meet, then James White is going to have a game like he had last week, you know, where he's going to be 8 to 10 catches and probably does not score a touchdown, but heavily involved in the passing game.
No interest in Deion Lewis.
No, I mean, just because he scored last week, it's the Miles Jack phenomenon.
Would you start Marshawn Lynch or a Patriots running back?
I would start Lynch. I think this is an opportunity with Brandon Williams being out for the Raiders to lean on Lynch.
I would start Gillislee over Lynch in standard and both over Lynch in PPR.
Hmm. Would you start?
Yes. Yes.
Would you start Christian McCaffrey or a Patriots running back?
Gillislee in standard and no in PPR. McCaffrey over both in PPR.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's see. Is there a wide receiver? Would you start Sterling Shepard or Mike Gillislee?
I would start Gillislee in standard, Shepard and PPR.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that works for me. And then I rank the Patriots wide receivers.
Cooks, Hogan, Amendola.
Yes. Although it's very close in PPR between Hogan and Amendola for me.
I imagine fantasy owners are not going to be getting away from Chris Hogan. Amendola will be a trickier one, but Amendola or John Brown?
Amendola.
Alvin Amendola or Kelvin Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Benjamin standard, Amendola PPR.
Hmm, interesting. Okay. And
I mean, look, he's played 3 games and he's gotten 6 catches in 2 of them.
Who's that, Amendola?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those corners on, the way that I think the Patriots attack this team is Gronk and Amendola the most, and James White, because those corners on the outside for Tampa Bay are very good.
Okay.
But exactly what you said is what a lot of people are going to do, which it makes the most sense. You're not going to bench Brandon Cooks or Chris Hogan.
Yeah, especially Hogan. Hogan, I have a stat on him because we're going to talk about buy lows and sell highs. We're going to read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. By the way, sit the DSTs in this game. And, yeah, I think that wraps it up. That's our Thursday night preview. Who's going to win, Tampa Bay or New England?
New England.
New England.
I would agree. Who's favored? I'm sure New England.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's 2.5. Do you know?
No.
You don't know the spread?
Five and a half.
Five and a half?
Ooh. I believe what it opened at. I'm not sure what it is now.
Sounds like I like the Bucks then with the points. And I love FanDuel, all right? You can play with the Thursday night games. You can get the Thursday night games in there, or you can play just Sunday. You can play the entire week, whatever you want to do. I like playing head-to-heads against just a buddy. I like playing – I mostly like playing the 50-50s. 100 people, 50 of them win. And I take less chances. You know, if you play in a tournament, you might want to take a little bit more risk, try to get some high upside guys like a Martavis Bryant who might have a cheaper cost. But the thing is, FanDuel is so much fun because it's more fantasy football. That's all it is. And it's really easy to get your lineup set. It's not a lot of work. You don't have to spend 2 hours on a Tuesday night on the waiver wire or anything like that. Just set a lineup and kick back, watch some football, and hopefully you win some money. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. And if you want to start for free and you want to get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, and you got over $1 million in cash prizes there, make your first deposit on FanDuel, click the Join Now button, and sign up with our promo code CBSPOD. FanDuel.com, the promo code is CBSPOD. Void where prohibited. And I just want to say I really do enjoy it every single week. I love playing on FanDuel. There is no reason not to do it. And if you start playing on FanDuel, you're going to find yourself talking about it all the time. Oh, I got this guy in my FanDuel lineup. It's just really fun. You're going to be hooked. You're going to love it. All right, let's read some emails and tweets, then buy low, then sell high, maybe some rest of season rankings, and maybe some grade the trade. But from the listeners, this is from Jace. Standard scoring league, rest of season, Christian McCaffrey or Bilal Powell?
McCaffrey.
Yep.
Have you given up hope that McCaffrey just becomes a total stud this year?
Yep.
No. Yeah, total stud, yes.
Let's expand on that. Heath, you were pretty quick to say yes, you've given up hope on McCaffrey.
Yeah, and I don't know that I had as much hope in the beginning, but he did some things in training, in camp, that certainly opened my eyes. It just seems like he gets swallowed up a lot of times. Defenses are definitely paying a lot of attention to him, and there's just not enough in that offense to take heat off of him otherwise.
Could he be like Danny Woodhead good in PPR? And that's, you know, at worst, number two start every week running back, probably.
Yeah. I mean, we're basically almost ranking him like that still every week without the evidence.
Right. Okay. All right, question from Eric in Maryland. How do you feel about the Ravens DST this week against Oakland? It's interesting.
Yeah.
They're a borderline starter.
Okay. Lions or Ravens?
Lions. Lions do a better job creating turnovers.
J-E-T-S.
Since Brandon Williams has gotten hurt for the Ravens, it hasn't looked good for
them. Yeah, it has not. Listen, let's give the friggin' Lions some credit here. I think they're still the number two DST in fantasy.
I really think Cam's going to have a letdown game.
I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a letdown game. The matchup.
Yes, he's going to have a letdown game after what he's done, but to what level?
Okay, I'm moving the Lions up as we speak in my rankings.
To what?
I'm trying to decide. Man, I can't get him in my top 12.
Well, I mean, they don't have a great matchup against the Panthers, so that's understandable. But, Jamie, you've got the Lions 7th.
Yeah, I think they have a great matchup against the Panthers.
They might. Okay, they might. We'll see.
I don't want to say that Cam is back to being an MVP quarterback just because he beat up one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, the worst. Okay, for now anyway. Question from me. Is Willie Snead worth stashing?
Yes.
Yeah, he's borderline, but he's worth it.
Question from me again. Is Corey Davis worth stashing?
Yes.
Yes, but depends on what you need. I had to drop him in one league, and I wasn't happy about it, but...
Yep. Unlike last week where I said that I made a claim for somebody that Jamie dropped, I actually made the claim this time.
And who's the best stash between Willie Snead, Corey Davis, and Dante Moncrief?
Snead.
I'll say Corey.
Okay. This is from Dustin. Who's a better ad in PPR, Paul Richardson or Juju Smith-Schuster?
I'll take Smith-Schuster this week.
I'll take Richardson.
Really? Baldwin's healthy, though? I mean...
Yeah. They're both the number four option in their offense at best.
What are the odds that Juju Smith-Schuster becomes better than Martavis Bryant? Because like I said on yesterday's show, he's played more snaps than Bryant, not many more, but more than Bryant 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, it definitely could happen.
Yeah. Okay, but not great odds. But that's he's an interesting guy. He's still pretty available, very available, Juju Smith-Schuster for Pittsburgh. Jeremy Carl asks, I give DeAndre Hopkins, I get OBJ, should I do it? Hopkins for Beckham.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Nathan Widdock, should I trade Doug Martin for Watkins and Mixon? Give up Doug Martin, get Watkins and Mixon.
I think I would.
Tell me again, I'm sorry.
You give up Doug Martin, you get Watkins and Mixon.
Yes.
All right. These are two of I think, the most interesting players in fantasy right now. It's two of these three. Doug Martin, what are your expectations for him? And Sammy Watkins. Like, I know Sammy Watkins is a great player. I know it just takes one big play from him. He doesn't even need a lot of targets to be great. But I also know that his schedule coming up, there's no way a wide receiver has tougher matchups than Sammy Watkins over the next like 7 weeks. I even thought about dropping him. I asked Heath if we could drop him in the Heathdom League, and we agreed no. But you know, that could be a horrible mistake. So let's talk about Doug Martin first. And what are your expectations for him rest of season? Because I can't forget the fact that Doug Martin was like brutally bad last year. I think he averaged less than 3 yards per carry. So let's start with him, and then we'll go to Sammy Watkins. Tell me about Doug Martin, what you expect after this week. We don't expect much this week, but going forward.
I expect a number two running back with a good opportunity to score a touchdown on a regular basis, more efficient than he was last season.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's top 15 potential for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, he was bad with his yards per carry, but in – I'm just looking at it right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The six games he played before the suspension started last year. In four of those, he gave you 10 or more fantasy points because while he was averaging 2.1 yards per carry or 2.6 yards per carry, he was finding the end zone or getting 100 total yards. Like, he would grind his way to 100 total yards. He had one game last year at Kansas City, 24 carries for 63 yards, which is 2.6 yards per carry, but he had three catches for 42 yards. Like, that's the type of player he could be.
Okay. So, Sammy Watkins, what do you guys think?
Tough. I don't know what to think.
He's tough. Yeah, that's how I feel, too. He's tough.
You have a quarterback that's seemingly afraid to take chances, which is understandable because they've had success as a team. And a receiver that is extremely dynamic but still needs to have opportunities. You know, last week was really frustrating.
Yeah.
Given the circumstances.
Over the middle of the field multiple times, and Goff's just not looking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's part of the evolution for Jared Goff. He's not a finished product yet.
It's also a rapport factor. I mean, look, he spent an offseason with Cooper Kupp, with Tyler Higbee, with Gerald Everett, with, you know, Robert Woods and Tavon Austin, and then, you know, Watkins got dumped in his lap in training camp. So it's understandable that they don't really know each other very well yet, but you would think after that 49ers game where – hey, if I just put the ball in that guy's vicinity, he can make some plays, that would help. But this was the concern. It was a minor concern, but it was tough schedule, injury risk, and then can this quarterback support him?
Yeah.
And the third one is playing itself out before we get to the tough schedule.
If somebody drops Sammy Watkins, would you immediately put a waiver claim in for him?
Depend on the depth of the league and who's on my back of my bench.
I considered it in one league just because it's a 10-team league, and I'm stashing David Johnson, I'm stashing Andrew Luck, and Watkins was my fourth receiver of a three receiver league, and so I ended up dropping another running back, but it was a tough call.
Okay, all right, guys, let's play a game. One more question, this is from Jay Wire. We need a fantasy league where you live draft the waiver wire every week instead of having to make waiver claims.
I would like to stay married. No, thank you.
No, this would take less time. You would have to commit to a certain time. But yeah. How many rounds? Like, realistically, how many rounds would you do? You do three rounds of waiver claims?
I'm out.
I love it. I think it's awesome. I love it. Be very difficult to pull off, but you could do like an untimed draft for waiver claims. I love it. I think it's great. Jamie, yes or no?
No.
Come on. This is a terrific idea. This is one of the best ideas I've ever heard in fantasy football. I love it.
Okay, so you go how many rounds?
You go 3 rounds.
Okay, so if I want to pick up 4 players, what happens?
Then you do free agency or something like that after.
So then why don't you just do free agency?
Because this is great. Because doing waiver claims takes so long. I love this idea. Okay, low.
I had 3 leagues last night where it was at least 15 plus waiver claims.
Oh, I made 24 in one. I think that's the most I've ever made.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
How many of them did you get?
Honestly, I don't remember. I had one league where I got 3 of those waiver wire running backs. I think I got Aaron Jones, Latavius Murray, and Alex Collins, or maybe it was Gallman. I'm pretty happy about that, actually. And that's a league where I had Cook, Montgomery, David Johnson, so I really needed it. I went nuts. I went nuts. It took a lot of time, but I think it's going to pay off. I hope it's going to pay off. I got a lot of Latavius, so I just hope he's serviceable. All right, buy low or heck no. And then sell high or no thanks, guy. Buy low or heck no on Mark Ingram.
Buy low.
Buy low.
Okay, Ingram or Martin? Doug Martin, rest of season.
Ingram.
I'll take Martin.
Okay. All right, Ingram with 14 carries each of the last 2 games. And a lot of catches this year, actually. He's got 15 catches so far in 4 games.
He's had a lot of catches the last few years. He's a good receiving running back.
Touchdowns will come for him. That's the thing that's missing right now. But the one concern would be is how much more work does Kamara get, and what does that do to his fantasy value move?
As long as they're cutting Peterson out of the equation, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, buy low or heck no, Joe Mixon.
Buy low.
Yeah, I'll buy low.
It's
got to be low, though.
Not playing very well. Right. So, you know, what would you give up for him? Would you rather, like, rest of season, do you think you'd rather have Danny Amendola or Joe Mixon?
Mixon. Yeah.
Okay. Buy low or heck no on Demaryius Thomas?
Buy low.
Yep, I'll buy low.
Demaryius Thomas has 0 targets inside the 10-yard line. Emmanuel Sanders has 3. Demaryius Thomas has 2 red zone targets. Emmanuel Sanders has 6. You still want to buy low?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Buy low or heck no, Jimmy Graham.
I'll buy low.
Buy low.
Is it a buy low or I don't even know how people value him.
You just asked us that, though, so the answer would be yes.
I trade Cameron Brate for Jimmy Graham?
I would do that, yeah. His last 2 games have been solid, I guess, but I feel like people are down on him.
They have every right to be down on him, but he's still somebody. You brought this up. I don't remember what show we were doing, radio or one of our podcasts, but about how tight ends finding the better ones is hard to do.
Yeah.
When you compare them to catchers in fantasy baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he may not be Gary Sanchez, but he is. Is LaCroix still a good catcher?
No.
No, LaCroix had an awful year.
Okay.
And we said buy low all season long. Never did it.
Wilson Ramos, is that a good catcher?
Yeah,
that's
not a bad one. Maybe more of like a Brian McCann.
Is this discouraging or encouraging that Luke Wilson has caught a touchdown in 2 straight games for Seattle?
Sickening.
It's tough from a fantasy perspective, but as we're going to see with Seattle's running backs, and I think, you know, people are starting to make the comparison of what Pete Carroll could be like a Belichick or a Shanahan. They don't care. It's not, you know, Russell Wilson, I think, is proving over the last couple of years that he doesn't need to feed his best players to still be successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing how good Russell Wilson is with that. Like, Russell Wilson scored. How many points did he score last week? 30-something?
34, yeah.
And not one receiver had a good game. Jimmy Graham didn't have a good game. Doug Baldwin, none of them had a good game. And he just cobbles it together. He's really incredible in that regard.
Well, that depends. Because McKissick had a good game.
Yeah.
He is a wide receiver.
And he is a wide receiver.
Okay. But he's kind of a running back. But
yes.
Yeah. All right. Terrell Pryor, buy low or heck no?
Very, 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 very low. I contemplated dropping him in one league last night.
Yeah, I'll say heck no.
T.Y. Hilton, buy low or heck no.
Buy low, yeah. Buy low.
Okay. DeMarco Murray, buy low or heck no. Only three more carries than Derrick Henry this year.
Yeah, but that's with the inflated game against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'll buy low.
Rest of season, Doug Martin or DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco.
How long is Mariota out?
One game.
Murray.
Okay, rest of season, Jordan Howard or DeMarco Murray?
Howard.
Howard.
Buy low or heck no on Marshawn Lynch.
Heck no.
Yeah.
What are you buying low on?
I will make a case because I'm sort of interested in this.
Does it involve him getting more than 12 carries?
Yeah, because I think the reason he hasn't gotten the carries has just been the score. The score in the matchup. Okay.
They were winning by too much and then they were losing by too much.
No, no, no. Well, actually, that's kind of true. Like, the first game for Lynch, he got a nice workload. He had 18 carries for 76 yards at Tennessee. The second game, they blew out the Jets. He had 12 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. And they took him.
He danced as much as he gave you production.
Okay, but he that's true. No, he gave you 10 fantasy points. He gave you a good game. The last two games.
His dancing was better.
It was better, yeah, but, he, six carries at Washington, they got blown out, so they couldn't play him. And then nine carries for 12 yards at Denver, which is actually better than what Ezekiel Elliott did at Denver. Denver's run defense is beyond elite right now. So I don't know that he's great.
I really think he's going to play well this week.
And the week after, the Chargers.
Potentially, but I'm just taking a week-by-week case with him. I don't necessarily want to – I'll buy low if it's – cheap, but I'm not want to say I'm targeting Marshawn Lynch.
And I think like the offensive line for the Raiders has not been as good as we expected. I still think they're good, but it wasn't just like one of the other things that you could have sold me on with Marshawn Lynch is he has a good offensive line and that passing game is so good that teams can't stack the box against him.
Yeah.
Look at EJ Manuel as quarterback now.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good point. All right. Next segment.
The one thing though that could help him is, you know, rushing quarterbacks tend to help running backs in running games. And EJ Manuel can move a little bit.
All right, next segment is sell high or no thanks, guy. I know you guys aren't feeling the names of these segments. That's okay. Lamar Miller, sell high or no thanks, guy?
No thanks, guy.
I think he's a sell high guy.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. We were just talking a week ago about how discouraged we were by Lamar Miller.
I think I might have said he was a buy low a week ago.
No, I don't feel like last Sunday, two Sundays ago, I asked you guys, you know, worryometer. I put the worryometer on him like being great. I think we were pretty high on it. I think all of us were. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, two games ago was the Foreman three catch game for 65 yards, I think it was. And Miller had one catch in that game, which is what we thought would save Miller was his pass catching. So I really thought, I said this on Sunday morning on our show, that the comments that Bill O'Brien made were almost like he's staring into Lamar Miller's eyes. That when he said Deontay Foreman's a three down back, and you saw the result, he looked the best he's looked all season.
Yep.
So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. But there is still that guy lurking behind him.
Like, what's a reasonable sell high on Lamar Miller is my problem, I guess. I expect him to be a fantasy starter the rest of the season, a solid number two running back.
I don't know if he was a solid number two running back. He was number two running back last year.
Yeah.
I think the one thing about it is when we're talking about running backs is there are at least two owners, hopefully it's not one, that lost Dalvin Cook and Chris Carson. And if they have receiver depth, and especially if you can use that receiver depth or stud tight end, but a good tight end or good quarterback or whatever, can you get Lamar Miller for something that will help your team? And always the case, you know, when you're looking at a guy that's had one great game compared to three mediocre games, that's a sell high candidate.
I mean, look, here's the thing with Miller, right? It was part of it. If he's going to get 15 or more carries every week, then he's probably going to be good unless their offense stinks, which is what I was worried about this year. I thought their offense was going to stink. Clearly their offense is going to be better than I thought. So that's a point for Miller.
No thanks, guy.
It's okay. It does. I think it does sort of, for me at least, it comes down to how much faith you have in Deshaun Watson. And yeah, I don't think he's going to have like the best rookie season we've ever seen. when you look at what Winston did, what Luck did, what Mariota did in their rookie seasons, like these last two games, he's going to, you know, based on that, he's going to blow them all away. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think he's going to be a lot better. Like I had been saying, sell high on DeAndre Hopkins, and I clearly have to reevaluate that because Deshaun Watson is definitely going to be better than I anticipated him being.
Would you trade Lamar Miller for Brandon Cooks?
Unless I had absolutely no running back depth, in a second I would do that.
That's the type of thing.
I mean, we're talking about guys that had one good game and three mediocre games.
Right, but we would have, at least I would have said coming into the season that they're close.
Yeah, did you know that Brandon Cooks, based on his one big game, is the number three wide receiver in standard?
Well, he also had a very good game week one. It wasn't just...
Yeah, 8 points. But he's like 12th in PPR. But no, I mean, yeah, I would do that. Jamie, would you do that?
Absolutely.
Heath, would
but
you?
But again, it depends on your team.
It's completely team dependent.
But okay. Just in a vacuum, if you're telling me I can get Brandon Cooks for Lamar Miller and as a flex.
Okay. All right, sell high or no thanks, guy, on Chris Hogan. Second most red zone targets in the league, third most targets inside the 10.
Sell high.
Yeah,
Gronk has not been Gronk, and he's still healthy.
Are you sure Brandon Cooks is the number three wide receiver in fantasy? I think he's number nine. I think Chris Hogan's number three wide receiver in fantasy.
No, I saw this morning and
okay,
last night.
Well, maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. If you can get number three wide receiver value for Chris Hogan, then yes, sell high.
No, Brandon Cooks. Oh, okay, I understand what you're saying.
I'm probably holding on to Hogan though.
Okay, I am seeing
no thanks,
now,
guy.
I bet you he's lower in decimal scoring, Heath. That'd be my guess. But I'm looking at our stats page, and we have Brandon Cooks as the number three,
okay,
wide receiver right now, with 13 catches for 294 yards and two touchdowns. Charles Clay, sell high or no thanks, guy?
No thanks, guy.
Again, can I get Jimmy Graham for Charles Clay?
I think you might be able to.
I would do it.
Clay, I do want to point out last week was his first week with more than like 53 yards. But also now Jordan Matthews is out.
Which means more attention too.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy Graham or Heath? I was about to like call you Jimmy Graham, Heath. Heath, Jimmy Graham or Charles Clay? I know Jamie would take Graham.
I would take Graham as well.
All right. So it's Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz, Jordan Reed. Who's number four? Who's your number four tight end?
This week?
No, rest of season. Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham,
Charles Clay.
Well, no, obviously not. You like Graham better than Clay.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Would you trade Charles Clay for Jordan Reed?
No.
I think I would.
Wow.
Would you, Heath?
I think I probably would.
Just knowing the fact that he's playing on a broken toe.
That sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I asked the Twitter users, buy low or sell high or no thanks, guy. Deshaun Watson, I think, you know, sell high. Not that he's bad, but, you know, you can get a lot for him. Wendell Smallwood, sell high or no thanks, guy?
Sell high.
Sell high.
Yeah. Anybody that you could pick up off waivers and trade for something that could help your team is the best way to do it. Like what Heath did with Deshaun Watson. That's
right.
The best way to approach fantasy.
I can't see LeGarrette Blount being this good. He's looked so good the last 2 weeks.
Look, guys like Smallwood and Powell, even though Powell was drafted, you know, anybody that has an injury opportunity in front of them or a potential still injury situation looming, you love those guys. But if you can trade Bilal, like Dave's trying to flip Bilal Powell in our Dynasty League that we share the team, Adam, he's trying to flip him for a receiver. I guarantee you, well, you wanted to trade for him, right, Heath?
I was going to, but then I didn't have a receiver that matched up.
Right.
I offered him Jordan Matthews.
and Dave's in a great situation in that league because he drafted Kareem Hunt in the middle of our rookie draft before Spencer Ware got hurt. So he's got that. He drafted Le'Veon Bell. He drafted Carlos Hyde. He's got running back depth galore. His number one receiver is Jordy Nelson. After that, he's starting J.J. Nelson and Marquise Lee. So he needs receivers, and he's in the perfect position to try and trade a running back. But Dave is asking for too much for Bilal Powell, most likely. Like, I wonder if I offered him Pierre Garçon for Bilal Powell if he'd make that trade.
He should do that.
All right, last one here from Mike. Buy, sell high or no thanks guy on Stefon Diggs, the number one receiver in fantasy.
No thanks guy.
Keep him.
I mean, it depends on what I can get for him. I would sell him for Beckham.
Yeah.
Who I think the people are down on.
Trade Diggs. Here's one for you, Mr. Crow. Would you trade Diggs for Melvin Gordon?
Like the Brandon Cooks question. It depends on the team. But if I needed running back, yes, I would.
I think I whiffed.
I think I'm in pretty good shape on the Crow thing, right?
You're looking that way.
What was it officially?
Melvin Gordon will not be a top four running back. He's currently 14th.
I think I whiffed on Stefon Diggs. He's a lot better than I thought. He's really good. And we'll only get better when Bradford gets healthy. Okay, guys, thank you so much. And that's it. Goodbye. Get the hell out of here. See ya.
Bye.